Okay, our next talk is the impact of soil amendments on divot recovery. Presenting is Ty Patton.
All right, thank you. So, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name's Ty Patton. I'm a graduate student from Oregon State University, where Dr. Rob Gombieski is my advisor. And today I'll be talking to you about the impact of soil amendments on divot recovery. So, first of all, what's a divot? Divots can be defined as occurring in the game of golf when a divot or when a golf club strikes the ground, creating a void, and so as pictured here. And for golf courses that do a lot of business, this can become a real issue for two reasons. Number one, divots are unsightly, and number two, it becomes a playability issue for golfers. And so to fix divots, superintendents will use divot mixes, which consist normally of a mixture of sand, random amounts of seed, and then sometimes you'll see composted mulch or peat moss used as well, and sometimes superintendents will have kind of a home remedy of sorts. And so getting into soil amendments, they can be applied to turf systems in many ways, but the definition of a soil amendment is any additive placed directly into a soil profile. Obviously, that's a broad definition, but a soil amendment can really consist of anything, whether it's sand, polymers, hybrid materials, whatever. For the purposes of our study, we wanted to look at various classifications of soil amendments because there are many soil amendments on the market that have different characteristics and yet claim to do many of the same things, whether that's water holding capacities, infiltration rates, or change in the soil structure of the soil. And so we wanted to get as many different types in to our study as we could. The objective of our study was to assess divot recovery as influenced by soil amendments, irrigation regimes, and light conditions. And furthermore, what we were really interested in was looking at divot recovery as influenced by soil amendments with the 1X watering regime, because in most cases on a golf course, tee boxes are going to be irrigated once in the morning, and then sometimes they'll be irrigated in the afternoon, but it's often hard if there's a lot of play. And so before I get into my materials and methods, I just wanted to mention that in 2010, we did have statistical significant data, but as pictured here, we have two divots. We had our divots grown on a fully mature tee box, which in the Pacific Northwest means that you're going to have Poa annua and then creeping bentgrass that are native to the region. On the divot pictured to the left, you can really see aggressive creeping bentgrass getting into that divot. This created issues with our data analysis because we were taking percent green with light boxes and then analyzing percent green with SigmaScan Pro. And so even though we did have data that was significant, really the limiting factor was the randomization of creeping bentgrass in the trial. If there's creeping bentgrass next to a divot, it would fill in. We didn't see a lot of germination because we only had one irrigation regime in 2010. And so getting into the materials and methods, we renovated that same tee box in May of 2011. And we sand capped it at a depth of 4 inches and seeded it with a SR 4100 perennial ryegrass at a rate of 588 kilograms per hectare. We went with SR 4100 because we wanted an older cultivar of perennial ryegrass that wouldn't show spreading characteristics. Obviously, it was also uniform. We allowed the tee box to grow in for 2 months prior to our trial initiation, and we maintained the entire tee box throughout both the grow-in process and the trial at a high cultural intensity. We mowed it at 1.6 centimeters and then mowed it 3 times per week with a reel mower. Our divots were created using this divot machine pictured to the right. This was developed for us by Dr. Cruz out of the University of Florida, and a special thanks to him for getting this built for us. The machine worked great. Obviously, we used a machine to create uniform divots. There's no set standard for divot dimensions, and in fact, our divots really changed a lot from 2010 to 2011 as we changed machines. The divots for this study this year were 10.2 by 8.9 centimeters in length and width, which were fairly standard for what you might find on a golf course, although you will see everything, especially if Dr. Gombieski is involved. And so the divots, lastly, were initiated on July 22, 2011. Getting into our experimental design, we used a randomized complete block design with 3 replications. just to set this up for you, all our divots were grown on the same tee. We had a rainbird irrigation system that would put out irrigation in the morning based on percent ET. I created the different irrigation regimes by coming back out in the afternoon and hand watering every day at 2 o'clock with a flow meter that was set at 15 hundredths of an inch precipitation. We had divots grown in full sun on the north side of the tee box, and then divots that were grown in morning shade until approximately 10:30 a.m. And so we had two trials grown in full sun with two different irrigation regimes, morning and then twice a day. And then we had two trials grown in morning shade with the same irrigation regimes. And just looking at our treatment list, we had 10 treatments, and every treatment had sand. Treatment one was our check. Treatment two had sand and seed. And again, we used SR4100 perennial ryegrass seeded at a 686 kilogram per hectare rate. And that was common throughout all the treatments. Treatment three, we use the soil amendment geohumus at a 5% volume rate. Geohumus is a newer hybrid polymer material out of Germany that we've done some work with previously. Treatment four was Dakota peat at a 10% rate, just peat moss. Treatment five was a combination of Dakota peat and geohumus at those same two rates mentioned previously. We had this treatment because we'd seen some good results with that previously. Treatment six was Zeba, which is a cornstarch-based polymer at a 1% volume rate. Treatment seven and 10 were similar. Wonder Soil is a barren brug product. It's a hybrid material. I don't exactly know what's in it. Treatment 10, Scott's Easy Seed, very similar to Wonder Soil, but it should be noted that Scott's Easy Seed does have the seed from Scott's Easy Seed mix in it, as well as fertilizer, so there was a little bit of additional seed in treatment 10. Treatments 8 and 9 are both diatomaceous earths, ATS Lassonite and Axis, both used at 10%. And so before I get into our results, for data collection, our plots were assessed using a light box and digital analysis software, SigmaScan Pro. I could fit three pictures into every light box picture, and then I'd crop the pictures at the set boundaries. Assessments were made weekly, beginning 10 days after a divot initiation. And just for your convenience, we have two pictures of divots pictured on the right here at 46% green and 84% green. This just shows you a divot. It doesn't have to be 100% green to be filled in. I would say anything above 70% green in this trial, I would consider filled in. And our experimental, So getting into our results, I have four graphs to show you. The graphs are all set up the same way. Percent green is on the y-axis, and our treatments are on the x-axis. Every graph shows two trials based on the different irrigation regimes grown in either full sun or morning shade. For full sun, 4 weeks after treatment, nothing was statistically significant. Obviously, there is a difference in the irrigation regimes, but nothing really stood out statistically from one another. There was no germination for the 1X irrigation regime. There was obviously germination for the 2X irrigation regime. For those same divots, but measured in the full sun, at 8 weeks after, we did have statistical significant data in both trials. Just looking at the divots grown with one irrigation cycle in the morning, Wonder Soil was statistically significant. That being said, at 42% after 56 days to allow grow in or divot germination, that's not going to be acceptable on most golf courses. But looking at the 2X irrigation divots, everything with soil amendments in them was grouped together. There were differences. I would say Dakota peat and then Zeba and by themselves probably wouldn't be acceptable on a golf course in this trial. Sand and sand with seed obviously were grouped differently. Just make a note of the overall mean kind of for both trials here as they do change for the divots grown in morning shade. For morning shade at 4 weeks after treatment, nothing was statistically significant for the 1X irrigation regime. Any growth you do see there is basically just encroachment in from the outside. Nothing had germinated. soil amendments, most of them were grouped together with the exception of Zeba and Geohumus, which was interesting because they're both polymer-based materials that hold the most water out of all the soil amendments we looked at. Sand, obviously, was also not grouped together. For those same divots, but analyzed at 8 weeks after treatment, most of them, again, pretty much they followed the same trend at 4 weeks, with Geohumus, Zeba, and sand by itself not being grouped together. The 1X irrigation, for whatever reason, had germinated finally. There was really no difference in overall temperature between the 4 weeks between these two graphs, but the daily highs were the same, but it wasn't, it wasn't staying hot as long. Heavier dews probably were also responsible. And so, in conclusion, it was fairly easy to conclude that irrigation was a limiting factor in divot germination and establishment. That was no surprise to us. We were expecting to see differences there. Obviously, the divots didn't perform as well with the 1X irrigation cycle as we were hoping. Also, light conditions clearly impacted germination during the months of July and August, which in the Pacific Northwest are our warmest months. And so any reprieve from, even if it was 4 or 5 hours in the morning, that did help divots fill in a little bit quicker. Our top performing soil amendments, again, out of the 8 we looked at, Wonder Soil, Dakota Peat, and Geohumus, Scott's Easy Seed Axis, ATS Lassonite, and Dakota Peat. Really, there was no clear winner statistically. I would pretty much group all these together. Again, Geohumus and Zeba by themselves didn't look really good. So we're still looking for that ultimate soil mix or amendment mix. And so in conclusion, I'd just like to say that we do have two other batches of divots that went out four weeks after and then 6 weeks after the divots I talked about here. They're still being analyzed. We're taking them out for 8 weeks. So far, the data has pretty much followed the same trends, although overall percent green mean has gone up. And so with that, I'd like to thank Dr. Golombieski, Brian McDonald, and Dr. Brillman for all your help. And I think I have some time for questions.
Yes, we have time for questions.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So the question was, did we statistically compare the plots that were at 4 and 8 weeks in the morning, or in the sun? Was that correct? Or morning shade? We didn't, just because we considered them different trials. Now, I guess probably could statistically compare if they were the same trial from 4 to 8 weeks, but I didn't for this. Go ahead. Sorry, I couldn't hear that. For rainfall? So we had a really strange summer in Oregon. September actually was a couple degrees warmer than July and August. Luckily, we actually had a large rainfall event right before these divots went out. And then we had a couple small, like less than a tenth of an inch rainfalls towards the end of this study. I didn't account for him here. We kind of got lucky, so.
So where did it start?
September.
So time for questions. All right.
Yeah, thank you.